North Carolina Injury Prevention Research Center. I'm presenting on behalf of my colleague, Kimberly Rauscher, and acknowledge here my co-authors on this presentation of some data from a national study of young workers. I will point out that Kimberly is from Boston, talks a whole lot faster than I do, and put together more slides than I may have time to say, but I will do my best here. So just in terms of background, I mean, as I think most of you know, I mean, there are a lot of kids who work each year. Work has both positive and negative attributes, many injuries, and a significant number of fatalities annually. So the child labor laws are in place to minimize the risks by limiting the types of jobs that teens could perform, the hours that they can work, and the timing of those hours. And then there's, as the last presenter pointed out, the issue of work permits. The onus is on employers to comply with the laws, not the youth. That's an important thing to think about, as I'm about to show you, non-compliance. And ensuring that compliance is a responsibility of government. And as we know from a variety of sources, enforcement is problematic for a variety of reasons, which I'll come back to later. But there are significant risks associated with being employed in illegal ways. So the aims of this particular study are to understand the scope of child labor violations among youth in retail and service sectors, and to determine if and how the reports vary by sociodemographic characteristics and the industry in which the kids work. The data are derived from a national cross-sectional survey. Data were collected in 2003 using telephone interviews with a representative sample of working teens throughout the continental U.S. The teens in the study were between 14 and 18, and to be eligible had to have worked for at least 2 months during the prior 12 months. And they were interviewed about a specific referent job during that time period, the most recent job that met the criteria of having been 2 months of employment in that 12-month period. This analysis is restricted to those who worked only in retail or service. For this paper, we looked at violations that were reported by the adolescents, including their obtaining a work permit and the hours that they worked relative to the weekly maximum hours allowed during the school year. And this is a focus just on work during the school year, nighttime work restrictions, and whether they reported being asked to work off the clock. I should also point out that, I mean, the regulations that we're referring to as to whether or not there is a violation or not are those that were in effect in 2003 at the time the data were collected. I'll be showing you information about hazardous order violations in two categories that we refer to here as group one, which all of the respondents were asked about, those on the left side, and those on the right, for which just those youth working in food service and grocery stores were asked about those particular types of equipment or practices. I'll also be reporting some of the data by gender, by age at the time they were in the referent jobs, focusing on the 14 and 15-year-olds compared to the 16 and 17-year-olds, looking at differences by race, by socioeconomic status, and by industry, depending on how fast I can talk. Okay, so our sample characteristics, I'm reporting on 858 youth, most of whom were in retail, but 32% working in service. They were fairly evenly split between male and female. 82% were white. And the sociodemographic characteristics are listed there. Those are the sociodemographics of the parent. And I should point out that we also interviewed one parent for each of these teens. And the information about socioeconomic status is derived from the parent interview. All of the rest of information I'm presenting is derived from the teen interview. So overall, among all of the teens in the sample, this is what it looks like with respect to the different broad categories of violations. I should point out that on the right-hand bar, the work permit violation, the N is different there because that only refers to those adolescents in states where a work permit is required. So as you can see here, I mean, the largest share of the violations were either hazardous order violations or work permit violations in states where that's applicable. Among those hazardous orders, those that were on the left side of that earlier slide, this is what the numbers broke down to. We asked for these if the adolescent used the equipment, but it was preceded by a question asking if that type of equipment was in their workplace. So the numbers here, you can see at the bottom that the N's vary based on the number that had that type of equipment in their workplace, and then these are those that responded, yes, they used the equipment if it was present. So as you see here, the power-driven equipment of a variety of types was the one most frequently endorsed. For those items that were asked of the 395 adolescents who worked in groceries and food service, this is the distribution for the specific hazardous order violations that we asked about. The numbers are smaller, but still substantial in terms of that the fact that none of these kids should have been doing any of these things. We also looked at, among those who reported a hazardous order violation, how many did they report? And you see here that the majority of youth who reported violations reported just one, but 45% of them reported two or more, the 22 and 23%. Okay, I'm going to shift now to looking at sociodemographic differences, and I'll go through this fairly quickly. This slide compares those in the service industry in the yellow with those in the retail industry in the lighter yellow. And I think you'll see some patterns here of differences, and you may have some interesting observations on what might be going on there. But, excuse me. So the retail kids working in retail were less in compliance with work permits and less in compliance, their employers, I should say, were less in compliance in terms of asking them to work off the clock, whereas those in the service industry were much more likely to be reporting night work violations. They're in the service. Were restaurant, which category were restaurants in? It's in the service category. Okay, this is hazardous orders, violations by industry, which you would expect they might be different based on the kinds of equipment that are in industry. I'm not sure what's going on there with the forklift and hoisting equipment in the service industry. I suspect some of that may be nursing homes. I'm not sure. With hoisting equipment, we haven't broken that down in terms of what types of hoisting equipment. Looking now at by age, the lighter bars being the 14 and 15-year-olds and the darker bars the 16 and 17-year-olds, I want to first point out that on the first set of bars, there are night work violations. Obviously, the 14 and 15-year-olds have a much larger proportion than those of the 16 and 17 years. There are many more violations that they can have because the hour restrictions are tighter. So, I mean, that isn't, you know, as dramatic a finding as it might look at first blush. With respect to hazardous order violations, the older kids are much more likely to be reporting those than the younger kids. But working off the clock and work permit violations are not that different by age. And then with respect to those who did report a violation at all, the numbers of violations they reported, and this is in part, I think, because there were more hazardous order violations to report, and that tended to be concentrated in the older kids reporting more multiple violations. Gender differences are shown here, with males showing considerably more hazardous order violations than females, and slightly more violations on the other three categories as well. And following from that, the girls are more likely, if they have a violation, to have only one, whereas the multiple violations are more common among the males. We compared kids who reported their race to be white to all other racial groups, and that's demonstrated here with the two shades of yellow. The minority kids seem to be working more off the clock and having night work violations, whereas the white kids were reporting more hazardous order violations, and the work permit violations were basically equal. And then again, the multiple hazardous orders demonstrated by race, not that much difference. Looking at socio-demographic differences by the education of the parent, there were more work permit violations among youth with parents with some graduate education. It was about half versus all other levels of education of the parent. Generally speaking, the more the education of the parent, the fewer mean number of violations. So there are clearly limitations to the study. I mean, we could have misclassified violations. This is self-report. The sample size is not huge, although it's not too tiny either. But there are fairly large confidence intervals around some of these estimates for some of the specific activities. It's limited to kids and parents who could respond to us in English, and who had telephones and could be reached for the survey. The fact that it's self-report is also a strength in that it allowed us to ask kids directly and not rely on the enforcement process to detect the violations themselves. We think that any potential biases associated with the self-reports is a conservative bias, and that the real number of violations is probably greater than what we are seeing in our data. So conclusions, we think that the findings signal significant failure of employers to fulfill their legal obligation and of the current enforcement effort to ensure that employers are complying. Obviously, laws are only as effective as the efforts that are put forward to enforce them if the employer is not voluntarily complying. Others have pointed out that there are efforts to improve employer compliance that they suffer from many limitations, and there's the whole debate about whether or not it's better to encourage compliance or to enforce, to engage in active enforcement. And these are some data from the Child Labor Coalition pointing out the numbers of investigations carried out and the increase in emphasis on compliance in more recent years. So in conclusion, enforcement is critical to keeping young people safe, and obviously it's not up to the workers themselves. And future research, we think, needs to look at how shifts in an approach to enforcement affects the violations, to understand better what's going on with the employers with respect to their noncompliance, and how to improve that. Do they just not know, or are they flagrantly disregarding the regulations, and then develop whatever strategies can best improve compliance. I want to acknowledge funding from NIOSH and help from one of our graduate students, Virginia Pate, in analyzing the data. And I don't know if I have any time for questions or not. Sorry about that.